First class trip across the Atlantic. Make sure you put them laces out. I've been out and about, and I'm loud, cause I found another sound. And I'll pound on the ground for my guys across the pond. Kick is matter, that's the song. Trust me when that word is blown. Y'all can clap, clap, sing along. But on a wheel, they got some real deal analysis. Take the wheel, I think I feel like a catalyst. For this build, you know your boy is never out of it. Matter of fact, I think I'll go and win a championship. KMWO, KMWO, man, you know how this go, yeah. KMWO, kick is matter, world order, man, y'all already know, let's go.
Hello and welcome along to the Kickers Matter Fantasy Football Podcast. If you're wondering, well, there's a different voice. It's because I'm hosting. Steve is hosting today. Jack is late from work, so we'll leave him. But I am joined, as ever, by our reliable co-host, Jamie Byram. How you doing, mate?
You're bad. How are you?
Yeah, all right. I'm struggling just to think of what to say in this bit. I don't know how Jack comes up with it every week without even considering it. It's mad. Well,
it's the same thing every week. It's very consistent. He knows exactly what he's saying, and then kind of you've been thrust into the limelight, and it's all kind of like, oh god, what am I gonna say?
Ooh. I know, it just feels weird. I don't know what to do. So I suppose the easiest thing to do is I'm going to pretend that I'm just answering the questions that I normally do, but ask them in the same way.
Welcome in to another edition of the Kickers Matter Dynasty podcast. With me this week, I have Mr. Happy himself, Jamie. He actually seems happy, which makes me more suspicious.
Well, yeah. I'm drinking Copperberg, so
not Shandy.
No. The missus came back from Waitrose today. She said I bought a couple of ciders. So I was like,
wait, Waitrose? Well, yeah, must be good.
Waitrose. Well, we've got up in where we live in Banstead, we've got a Waitrose and a Marks and Spencer's on the high street. So
life must be good then.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I didn't pay for it. She went shopping. Mate, I'm a gardener.
You pay for it. You pay for it one way or another. well, how are you doing anyway?
Good? I'm not too bad, man. I'm not too bad. It's starting to get a bit cold in the mornings for me for work wise. But yeah, apart from that, I'm alive, I'm breathing, which is good. And do you know what? I'm thoroughly enjoying the CNN coverage of the US election. It's amazing.
Yeah, I quite like the way that both of them have said that if they lose, then it's a fix and they want to go to court. But if they win, then it's fine.
Have they both said that, or has Trump said that?
Trump said that and Biden said that as well.
Do you not think, yeah, I just make sure that Trump doesn't win. That's the... do you know what's really annoying is I'm in a Twitter group with some savvy people, let's put it that way, on the kind of betting front, and they're all, quite a few of them are in quite a fair bit on Biden and have been for a little while. And as Biden drifted out on Wednesday morning, he went to 9-4, and I saw the price and I thought, well, I might just chuck like 40-50 quid on. And then I looked at the lawn I was at, the job I was at, I was like, but the leaves need to be cleared and I've got to be gone in like an hour. Oh, it's fine, the price will be there afterwards. So I cleared the leaves, went back, it was even money. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. And now he's like 1-8. Painful. God damn it.
Yeah.
Screw Donald Trump.
Well, let's talk football, not
yes, politics. More important things, mate. More important things.
So, in NFL news, we had the trade deadline. I thought that Will Fuller might end up being a Packer.
For fantasy, mate, I am so happy he's not.
Certainly would have been if Bill O'Brien was still there.
Oh,
would have been for like a seventh round pick, maybe.
Mate, it would have been Will Fuller and a third for a Packers seventh.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good deal. But yeah, somewhat upsetting as a Packers fan. I think he would have been good as a second wide receiver there.
But fantasy?
Yeah, I think he would have been good. I think. You
know, but as good as he's been in Houston, as kind of he is the not, I don't want to say the main guy, but he's what you would class as the wide receiver one there. In Green Bay, he's obviously behind Davante Adams. Potentially, he's even going to be behind Aaron Jones, potentially, in targets. And then you've got Bobby Tonyan. Oh, I do love Bobby. I do love Bobby.
What I quite like about him is he's got dual eligibility, isn't he? Wide receiver or tight end. I know. It's on sleeper.
It's fantastic. It is beautiful. Start him up tonight, by the way.
Yeah. In other news, we have the return of Antonio Brown for the Bucks.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you feel about it. I feel like I'm happy just to start him now, to be honest.
I think he's straight in. If I'm starting three wide receivers, yes. Or he's either my wide receiver three or a flex if I need to. Some trades that I'm seeing going around for AB are just stupid.
This always happens. Always happens with the hype. You know, as soon as Josh Gordon gets one of his suspensions lifted, all of a sudden you start seeing ridiculous.
I know, but I've seen a first, a second, and a third round pick for Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Nah, don't think so.
No. I've got him in two leagues, I think. Do you know what's annoying? In the first ever league that I set up, the Flash League, I dropped Antonio Brown on the Sunday at like 5:30 because I needed to move a player and I had an IR player that needed to be moved out or something like that. And the only way I could do it was to drop Antonio Brown. So I dropped him and then 2 days later, I think he gets picked up. I'd kept him on my roster for like the past 2 years.
I mean, you were tempting fate there. You've got yourself to blame. So.
I know, but I needed to get the Bills DST. So.
That's fair.
What can we do?
I mean, there's lots of injury news as well. Guys going on IR, but I don't really like talking about injuries too much because they make me sad. So, are you happy just to jump straight into it?
I am happy to jump in straight into what we want to be talking about tonight.
Okay, so the topic for tonight, we're carrying on from where Jack and Tim left off.
Yep.
So we're going to be looking at rookie running backs and rookie tight ends, how we kind of view their value now, what would you do, buy, sell, hold, and long-term what we think they're going to end up being as well. So
cool.
Shall we start off with tight ends? Because I feel like that's going to be quick.
Yeah, let's go down and go straight to tight ends.
Okay, so the first tight end that went was to the Chicago Bears, Cole Kmet. They went in the second round. And how would you kind of feel about him right now?
Right now, I'm keeping him on my taxi squad if I've got one.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't particularly want to... he was picked. I think he was the 43rd player off the board or something like that from the Bears. They've got Jimmy Graham. He's seeing lots of targets. Haven't they? They still got five other tight ends on the roster there.
Yeah, they could do.
I know he's done all right the last couple of weeks. He's seen some targets, made some good catches, but he's obviously more of a long term prospect. We all know kind of tight ends, they mature a little bit slower NFL wise, and it's kind of third year is when they really kick into gear. But he's someone that I would want on my taxi squad, or if I've got a deep roster just sitting on my bench, unless someone was going to offer me something stupid, I'm not going to trade him away.
Yeah, I mean it's really hard to kind of put too much of any type of value on these guys right now because, as you say, tight ends typically take a little bit longer to get up to speed in the league. I mean, Cole Kmet, seen five targets in the last three games. Can't really.
It's not awful for a rookie, but it's not someone you're going to start, is it?
You can't make a judgment on that either. I mean, he's only played 33% of the snaps, offensive snaps. So yeah, it's difficult to really place too much reliance on it. Now, if you're, I would say, if you're on a rebuild, go out, see what this guy's going to be. But you really have to be kind of quite early in your rebuild, I would say, if you're going to be looking to try and get something like this. Because ultimately, especially with tight ends, it's really difficult to move them, I find, from someone if you're trying to acquire them. It's very difficult because someone's just invested, say, a second or third rookie, round rookie pick, and they don't want to just give that up now.
But the thing is, if you're like me, mate, if I'm drafting a rookie tight end, like I've got, just looking at our list, we'll get to them later, I've got a few Albert O's. I was very high on him coming out, and the year before, I've got a few out, Adam Troutmans, a Dalton Keene, and a David Asiasi, and I think one Cole Kmet share. I've drafted them thinking, well, I'm not going to use them for this year, and potentially not even next year, or at least the start of it. I'm going to sit them in my taxi or on the bottom of my bench and forget about them.
Yeah. I mean, especially with these, the next three that went in the third round. So Devin Asiasi, Hosea Diguara, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, well said. Mate.
Yeah, we'll go with that. And Dalton Keene. I mean, two of those on the Patriots, one on the Packers. I mean, as a Packers fan, I kind of didn't like that pick. We don't really use a tight end position that much. There were positions that we kind of needed. So I didn't really like that pick from a personal standpoint.
You were expecting Sternberger to kind of... I had a fair few shares of Sternberger as a rookie tight end coming out, expecting, again, for not last year, this year more. But yeah, he's kind of been pushed out by Bobby.
Yeah.
So he's more of a long-term again. I'll sit on him and wait and pick up for another year. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, exactly. So let's put those three in the same kind of bucket, which is, well, all of those guys, which is kind of a wait and see. Let's move on to Adam Troutman, because Adam Troutman seems to me like the one that, out of this list, I'd most want to try and go and get.
Especially with the fact, kind of Jared Cook's age, and you'd think when Breeze retired, which I suspect will be at the end of this year, that they will obviously want to bring in probably a younger quarterback and build the team kind of getting younger. As I say, their kind of cap hit next year, they're so much over the cap next year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Cook's contract is, whether or not they'll try and get out of it. But I kind of thought that they would, with Michael Thomas being injured and Sanders being kind of injured on the COVID list and whatnot, that they might introduce Adam Troutman into a few more games earlier in the year, but they just haven't, have they? He's scored a touchdown, isn't he? I think.
Yeah, he could have actually.
I think he has scored a touchdown, I think, but it's a great situation to land Trout.
No, he's not. He's not scored a touchdown yet. He's only he's only had five receptions so far this season. Five targets. Sorry, three receptions, four targets. Four targets, three receptions, 34 yards. So that's not really what you want.
No. But again, this, you just got to get... I think this with rookie tight ends.
As you say, next season, I think, is when you're going to maybe see him take a little bit of a step forward. I mean, I'm just looking at overthecap.com, and it has the Saints in all types of cap issue. So they have the team cap space for next season is currently... negative 92.9 million.
Do you know what the best thing is as well? That yes, they'll save a bit of money when Breeze retires, but they'll still be taking 25 million dead cap from Breeze next year and the year after.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who did this contract.
Saints are fucked. The Saints have been doing is they've basically been pushing money further back, because they think this is their window.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they've, Taysom Hill, his cap number is 16.1 million next year. So
that's fantastic. Does Taysom Hill earn more than Julio and Calvin Ridley together, probably?
Janoris Jenkins, who the Giants thought wasn't good enough, is going to earn 14.2.
Oh, man, I really shouldn't laugh, but it is hilarious. The Falcons aren't in great shape either, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, there's not in good shape, and then there's this. So, anyway, we digress. So, Troutman seems to me like the type of guy that I'd want to go out and get, because he's kind of unknown. And I think, unlike with the others, he's just not seeing the field. So you might actually be able to get him on the cheap, or he might even be available. I know in some of my leagues, he's available on the waiver wire. Yeah. And I just kind of like, if you have a taxi space, pick him up.
Find
a space for him, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Then we move into the fourth round talent. And really, this is kind of where I don't really want to talk about too much of these guys. So what we'll do is we'll run through the guys that got selected at the back of the fourth round and later. Yeah. And these are just kind of guys, just put them on your... If you have massive taxi squads, yeah, go for it. But generally, I just think these are waiver wire fodder. Yeah. So we've got Colby Parkinson, who's with the Seattle Seahawks. Bryson Tompkins.
I think they've promoted him or taken him. Wasn't he injured? He was on IR, I think.
I think that was Sullivan, but either way.
Might have been, yeah, one of them, yeah.
Either way, yeah. You don't really trust him too much. Hopkins with the Rams. He's not going to have value for a while. You've got Higbee and Everett there. So, that's difficult. Warner with the 49ers.
Never heard of him.
I mean, the 49ers decided to get Jordan Reed
Dwelly.
Yeah, exactly. And the Tyler Davis with Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville,
he's got really. Tyler Eifert and James O'Shaughnessy in front of him. He can't beat them.
He's also on the Jags, so that's just never a good place to be.
Not until
unless you are.
Goes there.
Until they re-sign Blake Bortles, that's what I'm hoping for. Say what you want. Bortles was entertaining to watch. So let's go back to the guys that were selected at the top of the fourth round. So Harrison Bryant, the Cleveland Browns. We've already seen like a flash from him. If he was definitely a bit of a wow, what happened there?
He won people a lot of money in DraftKings that week. I know in like the Millie Maker, he was like 1.5% owned or something.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't one of those guys. I mean,
and I don't know.
But I mean, he's seen that was his, in that game. He scored his third touchdown of the season.
Yeah,
he's seen limited usage so far, but I think part of that is you've got Austin Hooper and you've got David Njoku in front of you, so it's quite difficult to get on the field because there were trade rumors that Njoku was going to be moving on.
But yeah, I think if Njoku did go, it would have really made Bryant interesting to me because I'm pretty certain of this, that the Browns, when Stefanski kind of brought a similar kind of offense over from Minnesota, where he played a fair few two tight end sets. So you've got Njoku, like when Hooper's been out, you've seen Njoku and Bryan on the field at the same time. They're both big, athletic. And with OBJ going down, one of those with Hooper will kind of, I think, have a fairly, I'm not going to say good, but okay rest of the season. More than likely than not, it's going to be Njoku, maybe them trying to push his trade value up. But you couldn't really guess. It's Hooper and one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you're clearly wrong. The guy who's going to blow up is Donovan Peoples-Jones, but That's fine. We all have.
Everyone's got a lot of Donovan Peoples-Jones shares, Rich.
So Harrison Bryant again. I think he's a guy you want in your taxi squad. Like,
I don't think you can get him cheap now after what he's done.
Because you see that flash and people just think, oh, I just need to hold on to him because once he gets the opportunity, he'll
exactly.
And I think Njoku's contract is up at the end of this season. Is it maybe next? His rookie season, I can't see
work out. No, I don't think. I think this is it his fourth year now. They didn't take his fifth-year option on, I don't think. But I'm sure you're about to tell me.
So he has been in the league since 2017. So this is now his fourth
season. I don't think they've taken his fifth-year option.
Not that I've seen, but I don't know if that deadline's passed or not. It probably has.
I think it has, because the Falcons... I know the Falcons didn't take tax, and tax basically threw his toys out of the brand like a little prick recently. But
yeah, well, if that's the case, then I can't see him getting re-signed, in which case Bryant's going to probably have value next season, I would say. Njoku should... we shouldn't have used that third-round pick on that tight end that we took, and we should just sign Njoku when he's available. That's what I always do on Madden every season. When I'm the Packers, acquiring Njoku, then just pepper him with targets.
Seems fair.
I mean, I don't really. I just air it to Adams all the time. Triple coverage, don't matter. Just click, there you go. Go and get it. You can introduce the next.
You beat me too. I was about to ask you to... any long-time listener of the Kickers Matter podcast will know I've got a great affection for the gentleman known as Big Albert O.
No, incorrect. I have not finished.
Albert Okwegbanam.
That's it.
I've been practicing that for the last 12 months. This.
Now, whenever I've been, just as a tip for future for anyone who's listening, if ever you're confronted with a difficult name, all you need to do is nail the start and nail the end and just get through the middle as quick as you can. No one will pay attention. Yeah, exactly. So let's start with how you would value Albert O.
I've got Albert O in a fair few spots. I'm in any spots I don't have him, I'm trying to get him. I'm not, because I don't think he's the next big tight end to come through. He's a very athletic. He blew up the combine. It's interesting with Denver that him and Drew Lock won the team at Missouri together as well. So there's a connection there already. I think when on his first two games that he was activated to the roster, I think that was 3 weeks ago, and the week after that, he saw four targets or something like that. And again,
I've got the stat in front of me, so I'll help you out.
You tell me.
So he had six targets against the Patriots when he was activated.
And he two touchdowns. Could have had two touchdowns.
Receptions for 45 yards.
Yeah.
And then Kansas City the week after, seven targets, seven receptions, 60 yards.
Yeah.
And last week, one target, one reception, 9 yards. And
what a touchdown.
And his first touchdown.
It was beauty. I was very happy. I had a bet on him at 6-1 to score any time, so that would be nice.
Nice.
Yes. I've got Albert Owen, as I say, in a fair few leagues. I'm starting him. I started him last week. I'm starting him this week. I've got no problem starting Albert O for the... While Drew Lock is the quarterback, I will play him. Yes, he's going to be somewhat touchdown dependent, but he's going to see targets.
Yeah, this is the... thing. I actually put him as a sneaky start this week if you're really struggling at tight end position.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are now, for George Kittle now done.
Yeah.
A lot of people are screaming it for tight ends at the moment. So I think you could do worse than Albert O. I mean, you alluded to the fact that Drew Lock and him were on the same college team. And I think that really helps him out, because Drew Lock is still, he's not a rookie, but you know, he's still very raw. And so when he's not sure what to do, you know, you can go worse than going to someone that you know plays in a certain way.
And we know Albert O is not the main number one tight end in Denver. It's Noah Fant. But obviously with Tim Patrick being not playing the last couple of games and Courtland Sutton being on IR, it's... Lock has been kind of relying a bit more on his tight ends. It'll be interesting to see when Patrick comes back, which he might do this week, what his kind of his targets look like, especially against the amazing Falcons defense.
I think that's optional.
You kept a straight face. I'm impressed.
I wasn't really listening. So that kind of does this with the tight end position. So really, the reason why I wanted to do that first, because I didn't really think we'd cover that much. To me, tight end position is hold it at least for a season or two, wait until they see the opportunity. If you can get, if you have Brian or Albert O, great. If you can acquire any of these guys on the cheap, then I'd do it. But let's move on to what is going to be probably more talked about position and certainly more valuable for fantasy, the running back position. So let's start right at the top with the Kansas City Chiefs raising all types of eyebrows in the draft when they selected Clyde Edwards-Helaire at the back of the first. Didn't really know what to make of that at the time because
he was a luxury pick.
He was a luxury pick, but wasn't even, for me, the best guy that they should have gone out and got.
No. I totally agree.
So I was watching the draft live, the first round, with a couple of guys from Roto Baller. And when the pick came in, we all just went, which I think is the biggest thing you can really say. It's quite a surprising pick.
Yeah.
And the way that they've used him as well just seems really strange. You know, you've gone out and you've acquired Le'Veon Bell. It doesn't feel to me like they've just gone, here's the rein to the backfield. Like, it seems as though they have some question marks over his ability to lead a backfield.
Damian Williams was going to be the starter on day one. I said that all along. I thought he would be until he obviously opted out, which is fair enough. CH isn't a three down back. He wasn't great. If I'm honest, I haven't seen loads and loads of him, watched a huge amount of tape on him in the NFL, but he wasn't. He can't block. He can't pass protect. I kind of saw him more as more to be used more as kind of a third down back, pass catching back, which they haven't really done. They've kind of said to him, right, we're just going to chuck you straight in. Damian Williams is out of the way. Show us what you've got. He doesn't seem to be brilliant from short distances within the 5 yard line.
The biggest issue with him that I have, because I own him in a bunch of spots,
I've got him nowhere,
is he just doesn't. I've got him in redraft leagues mainly. He doesn't score touchdowns.
No, that's Patrick Mahomes' job.
This is the biggest issue that I have. So he's actually third in the league in rushing yards. It just doesn't feel like he's there because he's only scored 2 touchdowns. I mean, out of the top 12 in rushing yards, he's the only one who scored 2 touchdowns. Everyone else has scored at least 3. And where he is at the top, you've got Derrick Henry, who scored 8, Dalvin Cook, who scored 10. Let's not talk about him. And Todd Gurley, who scored 8.
Let's not talk about him either.
So you've got a bunch of guys there who are getting touches, getting yards, and getting touchdowns, more crucially. And he's just not. And that's the biggest issue, that I think.
Is this a bit of an anomaly, though? Do you know, kind of like first-year Todd Gurley? Is it first year or second? No, not first year. First year Melvin Gordon.
It could be.
Where he just didn't score any touchdowns. And the next year he literally came out and
just scored touchdowns.
Went absolutely batshit mental.
Yeah, he went ballistic. I mean, it could be. I mean, if you own him in Dynasty, are you doing now?
What am I doing? I'm holding. I'm not selling him. Yeah. Not a chance. He's on the best offense in the league with Patrick Mahomes. They've drafted him back into the... He's a first-round pick. Yes, they have Le'Veon Bell. He's not... You might not get what you want for the rest of the season from him, because I suspect at the moment it's fairly even between him and Bell. And they've signed Bell for a reason. So I'm old. Yeah, you're not trading CEH unless someone offers you something stupid. If someone offered me, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey for him, then obviously, or an interesting one is a Ezekiel Elliott. Here's one. What would you do? You've got CEH. Someone offers you Zeke. What do you do?
I'd stick with CEH, to be honest.
To me, it's a bit of a toss-up.
For me, Zeke's kind of fallen down a little bit because I don't really know what the Cowboys' outlook is going to be. I don't know if Jerry's going to re-sign Dak now with the injury. I mean, he should, morally he should, but we've seen the NFL doesn't work on morals.
Jerry Jones doesn't have any morals.
Well, the league doesn't. I just think it's just a bit of a sticky situation.
Yeah, it's
Let's cover the second round running backs now. So let's move on to the line selection, which was Deontay Swift.
Yeah.
I kind of liked the landing spot.
He was my number one running back coming out.
Okay.
My board. I love what I saw at Georgia. Everyone hated the landing spot in Detroit. Yes, it wasn't great. If I'm thinking right, I dropped him a little bit when he went to Detroit. But obviously, with Kerryon Johnson just being Kerryon Johnson now, he's got no knees. I think the future is very, very bright for Swift.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind the landing spot at that time because I'd kind of gone into the season not sure on Kerryon, because if they're selecting him, then they're basically, I think, moving on from Kerryon with that selection, because it's not that the Lions didn't have a lot of holes everywhere else. So.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if I've got Swift, I'm definitely holding him. I'm not going to be trying to sell him at all. It's more a case of, if I could, I would try and acquire him if I'm maybe one season away from competing. I think that he'd certainly be a talent.
Yeah.
For next year.
Yeah. What would you pay? If you're thinking you're going to contend next year and this is a 12 team league, and you reckon your first round pick will probably be, I don't know, somewhere from the 1.6 to the 1.8, or 1.6 to 1.9, are you giving your first round pick up for Swift?
I probably would.
Hmm.
Yeah. To be honest.
Yeah, same here.
Like a late first, a mid to late first feels fine to me to give up. I think you're getting that kind of upside, and I don't think that
there's going to be anywhere there. And carry on.
No. Has no needs, as we discussed. No.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to one of the guys that I find frustrating to own, where I have him. Jonathan Taylor, who was selected by the Colts.
Buy him. If you haven't got him, go and try and buy him.
Yeah, this is the thing, right? When he had that landing spot, I was like, this is phenomenal. Behind that offensive line, Frank Gore looked good.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I thought, Jonathan Taylor, he might have a bit of tread on the tires, but that offensive line is just going to help him out so much. The thing is, it's the same thing with Edward Tellaire. He's not really getting the goal line work. It's so frustrating to watch on Red Zone or
last week he got one at the end and it failed, and then Jordan Wilkins ran it in. Taylor
Hines as well, which is just frustrating, because it seems as though they look at those two and they'll just hand the ball off to one of those guys instead, and it's just so frustrating.
Taylor hasn't looked good at all.
He's not looked like how I'd expect him to be.
I think he's had one rush over 16 yards this whole season, and that went for like 21 or something like that. I think everyone thought the smash play was Jonathan Taylor last week against Detroit. Me and Liam talked about it on the Season on DFS podcast and video, that we thought it was a trap. We thought it was a trap. And we were both more of a gut feeling, really, and we were right on that. He was obviously niggling a bit of an injury, which Philip Rivers alluded to in his kind of his interview afterwards. But it kind of...
Which actually he still has now. Apparently he still is bothered by an ankle injury.
This is where the value comes in. There will be Jonathan Taylor owners that are starting to go, oh, hold on a minute. Hold on. I'm not so certain about this. And maybe go in and just try and get him. I'm not saying Jonathan Taylor's going to turn this around and be amazing. He's got the talent to. He's got the team, the offensive line, the offense to, the coach to. But if you... It's a gamble that I'm willing to take for Taylor. And again, if you can get Taylor for a mid to late first, rookie first round pick, then you smash it. Because he was a top two pick. It was either basically him or CEH. Yeah. 101 and 102 in rookie draft. But if you're a Jonathan Taylor owner, are you selling him?
I wouldn't sell him. I'd hold. Because for me, if you're selling him, you're selling him low.
Here's how he is.
Because you're not going to get truly what you think he's worth.
No.
You're not going to get it.
Okay. I'm just looking down at the list that we're going to work from, and I'm just looking at one player here, which we will get to. Someone offers you Antonio Gibson for Jonathan Taylor. Antonio, what are you doing? Are you smashed to projected that?
I'd stick Taylor. It would have to be Gibson and probably quite a bit, to be honest. It has to be some more.
Don't panic sell Jonathan Taylor unless someone offers you the world for it.
No, just be a steady hand. That's what I would say with that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's move on to arguably the first kind of flop, it feels like, in the second round. Cam Akers with the Rams. How do you feel about him? Because for me, I just feel like I can't really trust him at all. Because
this year,
I don't know what McVay's doing.
This year,
I mean, I know what he's doing with his offense, but it's very difficult to predict because it seems like he sticks out the same personnel apart from a running back who just seems like he almost flips a coin between each play as to who's going to be the guy on there.
The thing I thought with Akers when they kind of picked it, when they drafted him, and it's kind of got to the point now where I'm even more certain on it. I was very kind of like, well, it could be like this back then, but now I'm like, it really seems like it. When they drafted Darrell Henderson, and he did absolutely bugger all, really, in this year, I think they did exactly the same with Cam Akers.
And then just ride the two of them next year, you think?
Yep, that's what I think they're going to do. If I'm honest, I don't see the optimism in what some people, some people going on that Cam Akers can easily win you your league this year. The back end of the year. Not for me personally, because Darrell Henderson has looked, if I'm honest, he's looked bloody good this year, he's running, and they trust Malcolm Brown, and he hasn't exactly looked bad. So why bring in a rookie who's seen like 45 million carries in college, has got the occasional, that's Taylor's got fumbling issues. Why don't you just let Akers learn and see what you've got next year?
I mean, if we're looking at the split, I've just brought it up now. Henderson has had 95 rushing attempts this season. Yep. Malcolm Brown has had 75.
Can I guess on Akers?
Yep, go for it.
12.
35.
Okay,
Robert Woods has had 16.
Yeah.
It's a mad world we live in.
Yeah. Are you trying to, with regards to Akers, are you trying to buy?
I would try and buy him if I could.
You should get him cheaper than what?
Yeah, I think you could get him for... You could probably get him for like a mid-second, I think, maybe, depending on the owner.
I think more kind of... a lot with Akers is... A lot of owners who drafted Akers was very high on their board because they were very high on him. So getting him away from mid-second, I think, is a stretch. I think they're going to want a late first. That's what they're going to want.
Possibly. And this is what I'm saying. So I think if I was trying to buy, whenever I say I'm trying to buy someone, I always give what I would be giving in my opening offer.
Oh yeah, you want, you've got to give yourself.
This is where I'm going.
And this meet there.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say to, I'm gonna give you like a mid second. And to be honest, with this type of player, this is a type that kind of might even invoke a personal reaction, because they might say, "Oh yeah, I'm done with him. I invested so much in him. I just want to move on." And that's why I think you might be able to actually pick him up for that mid second.
Yeah. If I've got Acres, I'm not selling him.
No.
I'm not trading him. I've drafted him where I've drafted him. If someone wants to offer me, I've drafted him at the 105. If someone's going to offer me a top five pick next year for it, there's a good chance I might even take that.
Yeah.
Depending on what my roster's looking like and what my record is. But yeah, as I said, I thought I've got him in two spots, I believe, two rosters. And I thought that they might use him similar to how they used Darrell Henderson the first year. Not a lot.
It's fine if you go into that with your expectation. So it seems like you did. So you're fine with it.
I got lucky.
Let's move on to J.K. Dobbins, who seems like his stock is definitely on the rise, which is partly because of the fact that Mark Ingram looks like he's breaking down. Let's not be about the bush. He's starting to really break down, and he's not being as efficient as he was in previous seasons.
Yeah,
I actually think one of the biggest issues that people keep overlooking is offensive line play. Everyone just assumes that the Ravens' offensive line is fantastic, but they lost Marshall Yanda this offseason, and no one seemed to be talking about it. At least no one that I was seeing was talking about it. I raised it with a couple of people and was kind of like, shoo to the side, which seemed a bit strange because he's such a pivotal guy in that interior line.
Yeah.
That he really helped it click. Now, J.K. Dobbins has, so far this season, he's had 40 rush attempts, which is behind Ingram and
behind Gus the Bus. Love me some Gus Edwards.
But in terms of, if you're looking at how those touches have happened, I mean, in the last 2 weeks, he's had 22 rush attempts.
Yeah.
With 9 against Philadelphia and 15 against Pittsburgh. It feels to me like we're starting to see a change of guard. Now, I think that the team were maybe pushed into that a little bit earlier than they thought they would need to.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of happy that they are, because I think for this team, Ingram isn't giving them what he gave them last season. And this team really does rely on its rushing game to keep the chains going. So for me, J.K. Dobbins, he feels like if you are able to get in on him, then just hold into him. And if you want to acquire him, then
you're going to have to overpay.
You're going to have to massively overpay. Because now he's effectively I view him as the starting running back. I know you might think Gus Edwards is, but either way, Gus Edwards isn't the long-term guy there. And he's not. Don't give me that look. And Dobbins, I think, is going to be involved in this offense for quite a while yet.
Dobbins was a very, very close running back two for me coming out, but just behind Swift. And the landing spot was lovely. Again, we all expected Ingram to be obviously the RB1 there. But as you said, he's breaking down. I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to save him more for the playoff run when they hit. Dobbins, I put a tweet out, I think, 3 weeks ago, which said Gus Edwards is a better running back than J.K. Dobbins right now. Dobbins looked really, really good in what I've seen, but I'm still not going to change what I said. At the moment, Gus Edwards looks like a better running back than Dobbins. Dobbins is a rookie. Edwards is a vet. It's always going to be that way. Dobbins will have a better career than Gus Edwards, because Gus Edwards is more than likely than not going to leave at the end of this season. Please go to the Falcons when we get rid of Gurley after the year.
I mean, Gus Edwards to me feels very much like a Frank Gore type, in that coaches kind of love him because he will just get you 3 yards or 4 yards.
He's a younger Lamar Miller.
Yeah, so he's just going to get you that. J.K. Dobbins is he's a type of player that I'd want to own from a fantasy perspective because he's exciting to watch. That doesn't always translate to to success, because ultimately it's the coaches who make the decisions, as much as I personally would like them if they played the guys on my rosters.
Like, we know in Baltimore that Dobbins is going to be the passing downs back and Gus Edwards is the goal line back. They've shown that at the moment. If you've got Dobbins at the moment, you're starting him. It doesn't matter. This week, especially this week, you're going up against Indy. Is it Indy? It's Indianapolis, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a very tough matchup, but you're starting him because...
You probably have to.
Well, I think you are, because let's be honest, Lamar Jackson's passing's been pretty much what we thought... Well, sorry, what I thought it'd be. He's taken a step back from last year. He hasn't looked great. Mark Andrews has... I think he just hasn't. Can you tell me what Mark Andrews is, what rank he is tight end wise? But I think it's
fantasy scoring.
Yeah, PPR. I think he's outside the top eight. I think.
Yeah, he could well be. I mean, he certainly seems like he's getting more and more.
You can't trust
the goal line.
You can't trust the pass catchers in Baltimore, but you can trust the running backs, and you know they're going to run the ball. And even with a 50-50 split between Dobbins and Gus Edwards, they're both going to see it enough. And as I say, Dobbins is, if you've got him, you hold him. If you haven't got him and you've got capital that you are happy to get rid, not get rid of, but to trade away to get him, then go for it. If you've got a stack roster, go and get J.K. Dobbins.
So just to interject here, Mark Andrews is actually fifth. It seems on a standard. Let me just check. Switch to half PPR. Let's talk about sixth. So it doesn't move down that much.
What about
in PPR, I imagine he falls down a little bit more. Yeah, seventh.
Yeah. Which everyone's drafted Mark Andrews is the third tight end off the board.
Yeah, I think everyone always wants this second tier of tight end to appear, don't they? Between Travis Kelce and Kittle.
Did you see my tweet about Mark Andrews earlier in the week?
No, I didn't.
No. I said Trey Burton's going to score more points than Mark Andrews the rest of the season. Yeah. Would you be...
I kind of don't want it.
Would you honestly be surprised if that happened?
No, because the thing is, I'm never surprised with any tight end in Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the guy who has probably the most ridiculous calves I've ever seen. AJ Dillon, selected by my very own Green Bay Packers.
He's got to be good at something, isn't he?
If you've not seen those calves, I've seen them. They're literally the size of men. Never really seen anything from him, which is kind of disappointing. To me, it just seems like a really weird pick because there's no way they weren't going to go with Aaron Jones this season. No way.
There was so much scaremongering around this. Aaron Jones dropped in so many drafts. Not a huge amount, but just...
I picked him up in Dynasty Leagues if I could for this. You know, where I was just on that borderline of being able to contend.
Yeah.
I picked him up because people were so terrified that he was just going to drop off. That I was like, yeah, I'll happily pick him up.
Do you think, here's a question for you, just quickly before we get into it, onto AJ Dillon. Do you think the Packers re-sign Aaron Jones?
I think it really depends on what Aaron Jones asks for. If I'm being totally honest, I think it'll come down to a monetary decision. If he asks for what the open market would...
Yeah.
Offer or what? He's not going to sign a big money contract.
I said I think 8-10 weeks ago on Twitter. I don't know who I was talking to. That I think Aaron Jones, if and when Todd Gurley doesn't get re-signed by the Falcons, I suspect he probably won't unless. Well, I don't know. The Falcons are a mess, so fuck knows. But I thought Aaron Jones could be an interesting target for the Falcons. Because he's a great pass catching back, he's a good runner. He would fit very nicely into the Falcon scheme. So if that was just, I would be happy to have him.
You bet Dirk Carr hates running backs.
Dirk Carr's a prick.
Well,
carry on.
let's go back to what long term. Where do you see Dylan? I see him as
I haven't got a fucking clue.
I feel as though if they've spent a second round pick on him, they are expecting him maybe next season to be used more.
You,
I feel as though
like to think so, wouldn't you? Maybe they're like doing so. What now, I thought they're doing with Akers, going to sit him for the year. Well, not sit him, but
which is quite possible. And this is what I was about to say. I think that he, to me, feels like someone that you can maybe go out and acquire on the cheap.
Yes.
Whoever's owned him is going to be a little bit worried that he's not been used. Will Aaron Jones get re-signed? I think you can maybe go out and get him.
I almost put him on the block in a couple of leagues early in the week and I decided against it.
Yeah, I feel like you could maybe go out and pick him up early on the cheap. And I think he's one of those guys that if he doesn't pan out, you probably didn't pay too much for him. But the upside is huge there.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So for me, he's kind of a buy for right now.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the third round, guys. So let's start with Keyshawn Vaughn. Let's jump over Antonio Gibson because I think we will probably want to talk about Gibson for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Than Vaughn. So Vaughn to me just feels like you have to probably hold him because you probably invested a late first or an early second on him.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get anywhere near that back. And this Tampa offense seems like it's going somewhere admittedly with Tom Brady under the helm, who won't be there for too much longer.
Yeah.
But then neither will Noodle Legs or Ronald Jones. So
I don't know. I think Ronald Jones will. I'll be the first to admit, I kind of bought into Keyshawn Vaughn more for the point of where he landed and the fact that Ronald Jones didn't show a huge amount last year. And back end of the first round pick, I feel sick about it if I'm honest. I'm not selling him because what you're getting for him now, you're getting pennies on the pound. You hold him, you sit him when you're taxing, you hold.
Yeah.
I think it's just a bit of a waiting game.
I almost feel like we need to mix this up a little bit now and let's have a chat about Antonio Gibson and then maybe let's leave the rest of the guys for another pod.
Either we can do that or we can literally just go down them and say buy, sell, hold.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay. Let's talk Antonio Gibson.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wrong.
Were you one of the guys who said he's Christian McCaffrey?
No, I was one of the guys who said he's Ty Montgomery.
Okay, because I feel like there were two camps, basically. There was he's the second coming of Christian McCaffrey, he can do everything. And then there was the camp that said he's not going to do anything.
Well, I didn't think he would do nothing. I didn't see all the hype about him. He had like 60 runs in college, rush attempts in college. They had Darius Geis there still. They still had AP there. They didn't have Chris Thompson there still. But it wasn't like, oh, he's going to walk straight in straight away and be the RB1 in Washington. He's shown a really good attitude and he's impressed me on the field, if I'm honest. He hasn't blown the doors off. It's Washington. No one's going to blow the doors off there right now. Yeah, he's looked good, and if somebody owns Antonio Gibson, they are not selling him.
Nope.
Not a chance in hell. If you, again, similar to J.K. Dobbins, if you want Antonio Gibson, you're going to have to pay out the arse for it.
Yeah, definitely. Lynn Bowden.
Pointless. Drop him.
Yeah, I don't really see how he's going to be anything.
Well, he was a wide receiver. The Raiders drafted him and said that they were going to convert him to wide receiver. He did absolutely bugger all. The Dolphins have signed him. They were going to move him or trade for him, I think. Move him back to
receiver.
No, they're going to move him back to running back.
Okay.
I believe. Or was it the other? Yeah.
So he's listed. So he was. So in college, he played wide receiver and some running back.
It was the other way around.
Raiders, yeah, the Raiders threw out the card saying running back, and Miami have put him at wide receiver and haven't really done anything with him. So
But
it feels to me like a.
If you've got a space. Well, yeah, but also if you've got space to sit him on your taxi, and you. Or you, because if they've moved him back to wide receiver, it's for a reason. They're not. You're not going to see a huge amount this year. You've got Tua, who's just started. I think he is pointless, but he's kind of that. You just don't know. I'm not. If I've got a spare taxi spot, I'm going to offer someone a fourth round pick for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone's probably going to say yes, and you just sit him and see what happens.
Where are you on Zach Moss, the next guy, with the Buffalo Bills? To me, he feels like a hold or a sell.
Yeah, he feels like a
sell. I don't think you can buy him, especially after that performance he had last week with two touchdowns. It's actually more than Devin Singletary scored all season.
I don't see the hate for Devin Singletary, honestly. I really don't.
The fantasy hate for me is he doesn't score.
I know.
Because he's probably, it seems like he's maybe the third or fourth running option in the red zone.
But he's good. And the thing that annoys me is when I see, maybe not specifically in fantasy, but people going on going, oh, Zach Moss is a better running back than Devin Singletary. Did you not see Devin Singletary at the end of last year? He looked bloody brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would buy, I would, Zach Moss is a hold of a sell, and I'm going to potentially try and get Devin Singletary on the cheap at the moment. Just while I'm talking about Buffalo Bills running backs.
Next up, Darrington Evans. He just feels like a hold. Like, yeah. I don't feel like I want to go out and buy him. I don't feel like I can sell him. He just feels like he just needs to breathe.
While Derrick Henry's there, he hasn't got a chance. And also they've got, is it Jeremy McNichols who is backed up Derrick Henry, and also
Donta Freeman. Foreman.
Dante Foreman, yes, that's the one. Just sit him in your taxi and forget about him for the moment.
You got Joshua Kelly with the Chargers, and P. Ryan with the Jets. I feel both of these are kind of Kelly. I feel if you wanted that to go out and buy him, he's going to cost you a little bit more because
more than P. Ryan.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But less than 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
He hasn't looked great. Justin Jackson, I've got him in quite a few leagues. He's looked really good. Kelly's looked all right, but what's the next?
Kelly just can't shoulder that workload, and there's nothing to be bad about that. It's like, that's just his role.
Yeah.
Like, he is just like a relief bag, which is
I don't think you're going to get him on the cheap.
No.
Again, it's just a hold, isn't he? I'm only starting him if I desperately have to. In P. Wright, with regards to LaMichael P. Wright, I've started him in a few places, specifically the Scott Fish Bowl, because I had Le'Veon Bell and Joe Mixon, which hasn't been brilliant. He did right 2 weeks ago. Last week was a bit crap, but I think if you think the prospects for P. Ryan could go up, could be interesting next year, don't try and get him now.
Yeah, because he's going to have no competition next season.
And also, towards the end of the season, I think he's going to start seeing more and more work. Frank Gore's not the passing down back. If they're going to throw the ball to a back, it's going to be P. Ryan. He's looked all right, maybe. But yeah, if you like LaMichael P. Ryan, go and get him. Try and get him now. For me, he's a hold.
So we've got a bunch of late round guys here who all to me feel very much like a very speculative kind of ad if you want them. So you've got Anthony McFarlane, DJ Dallas, Jason Huntley, Eno Benjamin, Remen Calais, and Malcolm Perry. Now, who
Perry, Calais, about, and Huntley we can forget about.
Yeah, I would say so. So for me, McFarlane seems interesting. Depends on what they do with James Conner.
I totally agree. I think McFarlane's more of the Who they got? They've got Connor and they've got Benny Snell, who's backing up Connor. I think McFarland is going to be more for next year and going forward and after that. I think he's going to be more of the backup to potentially Connor next year. I'm holding him. I quite like McFarland coming out from Maryland.
DJ Dallas feels to me like it's more of an offensive thing. Like, I kind of want the Seattle running back.
Yeah.
So as long as he's with Seattle, I kind of have some interest in him, especially with Carlos Hyde. Is Carlos Hyde, and Chris Carson seems like he can't stay fit.
But you also got to remember as well, Penny's coming back off the pup as well. I'm not saying
that is true.
Do you know what? If I've got DJ Dallas now in one of my, I'd have none of him. But if I did, I'm trying to sell him before the weekend.
Yeah, I'd try and speculatively sell.
I'm trying to sell him because I'm a massive Chris Carson fanboy, massive. While Chris Carson's there, no other running back's getting a shot. He's a fantastic running back. DJ Dallas is. He's just got to hope that Carson leaves, gets hurt, if I can sell him now for, I don't know, a mid to early second round pick, you'll find someone.
Yeah,
I'd be stupid enough to do that. You snap it, press accept before they've realised what they've sent.
Yeah, exactly. And then just pray your league has no vetoes.
Exactly. Which no league should, unless there's clear and obvious collusion.
Correct. And then I guess that just rounds us out with Eno Benjamin. I think it's going to be... It's difficult for me to give you a kind of indication of where I think he is. I think we'll find out this weekend where he is, because I don't think Kenyon Jake's going to... going to recover, and it'll be interesting to see how he's used in the mix with Chase Edmonds. Yeah. Then I think you can kind of make a judgment on him.
Wherever I've got him, I think I might have him in two taxi squads. I think I'm holding. I don't want to get rid of him for the simple reason that I was high on Kenyon Drake coming this season. He hasn't produced. The Arizona O-line's been absolute garbage anyway for running backs. I'm holding Benjamin for the reason that I haven't got a clue what they're going to do with Drake in the offseason.
Yeah, and he's a hometown hero as well. He went to Arizona State. Yeah. Feels to me very much like a Philip Lindsay kind of thing that just hasn't had that chance to impress yet. So we might see it.
Totally agree, mate. Totally agree.
Okay, so that brings us to the end of the Titans and running backs. It was a bit of a longer pod than I thought it might be, but
it's good fun. I haven't talked about the rookies much so far this year, so I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think we've gotten some guys there, and if there's anyone who you think that we skipped over or you disagree with, then you know, reach out to us on the socials.
Tweet us at @kickers_matter.
Yeah, or reach out to us personally, and we can obviously defend our awful takes.
Okay, Rich, what's your Twitter handle, by the way, Rich? Just so people can, because obviously they're going to come at you for your awful takes, not me.
My awful takes. You can find me at RichKingFF or KFancy_sports.
And you can find me, which is at Jamie_Byrom, Byrom, KM for Kickers Matter. So yeah, either tweet one of us or the Kickers Matter handle, at Kickers_Matter. Do you know what I think? We should move on to a very, very important part of the show, Rich.
Yeah, the most important part, some might say.
Well, yeah. I think you could be close. It's time for the Robbie Aguayo corner, where it'll either be a wide, wide right miss or straight down the middle. I haven't done this in a couple of weeks. I've totally forgotten. Totally skipped my mind, mate. This is what happens when you're off for a couple of weeks. You forget stuff. What have you got, mate? A hit or a miss?
I've got a miss. No, it's mixed because it's my daughter's first birthday this weekend.
Oh.
Which is nice. So that's a hit.
Yeah.
But then it's also a miss because going into this like 4 week lockdown. So we had, you know, a couple of plans that we were, nothing big, not like, oh, we're going to go and see a load of people. We were just going to spend some time as a family, go to like a soft play center, because now you have to book. They're not hell like they were before.
Yeah.
And we were just going to have some nice time as a family, but that's unfortunately not happened because of this. Bats are really tasty in China, it appears.
Yeah.
What about you, mate?
Well, I've got hit, shockingly. I've been watching all of the US election coverage, and specifically on CNN. I've been watching on Sky or BBC because they're just both shite. The CNN coverage is brilliant, mate. It's fantastic. Have you been watching CNN or any of the election stuff?
I've been keeping an eye on it, but not, I've not been covering it, because every time I've clicked on it, it always just says like, "We'll be back." So.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. No, it's brilliant, and they're flipping magic walls, like, you know, kind of like during the British elections, BBC have like this, the wall of theirs is just ridiculous. Like clicking zoom in, it will tell you the percentage of votes, how many are still waiting to come. It's brilliant, and the guy who's, I think, is it John Fox or something like that, the main guy who does the magic wall, it's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it, and like, I'll get off, finish this pod, and I'll bugger off into the living room and get the remote and get the crap off the television that Rach is watching and turn on CNN News and watch that. It's brilliant. I saw today and yesterday they had former Republican congressman on like a little panel thing that they had. I think around behind the desk, it's like five of them, and they were literally just pounding him, absolutely pounding the guy. It was hilarious to watch. He
are they allowed to show that pre-watershed?
It's America.
Oh, okay, it's fine then.
CNN coverage has been great, and screw Donald Trump. I hope you lose, you orange face womble tosspot.
Yeah, he's currently, that's 253, I'll just look now, 253 seats on BBC.
Biden's got
253
and Trump's got 213.
214.
No, BBC are wrong.
Okay.
They've had it since yesterday. They've had 214 since yesterday. It's 213. CNN.
213.
Okay. Hopefully the orange one doesn't win this for all our American friends and listeners and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say I don't really like talking too much about politics, especially in a different country, but I just hope whoever wins that they kind of bring that country together. It seems like it's quite divided at the moment on quite a lot of issues, so whoever wins, I just want them to bring it together.
I think Donald Trump isn't going to be the person to do that, to be honest.
Probably not. Okay, well, it's a pleasure as always to speak to you, Jamie. And
really, is it?
I have to say that I have to be polite. My mum bought me, right? It's always a pleasure, apparently, to speak to you. And I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
Yes, definitely.
Take it easy. Up.